with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man, it's going to be an interesting week on multiple fronts. The future of college athletics kind of hangs in the balance as the conferences decide whether or not to accept the settlement. Kind of give me an idea of what that entails. What is the settlement? How does it affect the future? And then what do you see as the future if this is accepted? Because so far the Big 12 and the ACC have agreed to basically allow the NCAA to kind of squash a bunch of this stuff that's going on in court. It's about $2.7 billion. Of essentially back pay over the last decade or so to athletes that have joined this class action suit, and then paves the way for almost a fund to be created within athletic departments to then start paying athletes of about $20 million. So where does that get us if this all goes through this week, and what the future might be for college football essentially, but then also the other sports. Mark Slaball, ESPN.com, came out with his post-spring top 25 a couple weeks ago. We just hadn't got there. Kind of dissect that. Who's too high? Who's too low? Another thing that looks like it's going to be changing, and this is not for the better in my opinion, but the NBA is finalizing its media rights deal sometime this week, it looks like. And guess who's not there?
Uh-oh. The best sports analysis show we got right now?
Of all time? TNT. It looks like it's going to be ESPN, NBC, and Amazon will be the media rights holders for the NBA. So TNT is not involved. So next season looks like it's the last season for Inside the NBA.
Just keep them together and move them to NBC or Amazon and just rename it?
Doesn't appear.
Or are they under contract with Turner?
I think Ernie is a Turner guy for sure.
Yeah.
So we may have to pour some out for our homies. Also, what are the other? Inside the NBA is clearly one of the greatest sports talk shows of all time. What are some of the others that pop into your mind? Talk a little bit about last night's NBA. Man, the Pacers. The Pacers had it, and then they didn't. Rick Carlisle took all the blame last night for not calling a timeout and moving the ball to half-court line before they threw it away and let the Celtics tie it with a three to send it to overtime. Was that their chance? Was that Indiana's chance to make this a competitive series? Or are they just a little bit better than what I thought they were, and they present some problems for Boston, especially without Kristaps Porzingis? Also, what will happen tonight? Western Conference Finals, Game 1 in Minnesota between them and the Mavs. And then whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in. It's 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, choose us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in. It's officially like the off season, right? It's like list time, polls, you know, rankings, Mount Rushmores. It's that kind of time right now in sports as we kind of creep through the summertime, getting closer to the fall and football starting again. So this is, if you got something you've been wanting to talk about, been wanting to ask us, this is the time to do it. 225-9698. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be sports.
It could be ice cream.
I've been trying to think of a good like food question again. And with Memorial Day coming up.
Yeah.
You know, grilling. It's grill season. I've got something laid out to cook on Sunday that I have been waiting to cook since we got the half beef last time in October.
Can you tell us what it
is? Absolutely, I'll tell you. 225-9698. Is the phone or the text line? Yeah, my wife just chimed in. A great question is, what are you cooking for Memorial Day? That's exactly right. I'm right there with it. Right now, Will Bowie, call us. Right now would be a perfect time to call. If he's listening, as he texted us. Anyhow, if you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app has it all. Radio, Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Look at that. Ask and you shall receive. Uh-oh. Will, you there?
Hello.
Ah, there we are.
I'm here.
What's up?
Talk about this class action lawsuit a little bit more. I haven't heard much about that.
Okay, so it looks like the settlement is happening. The Big 12 and the ACC have already agreed. It's House versus the NCAA. And essentially what's going to happen is if all the conferences agree to it, then a fund would be created of $2.7 billion to pay former athletes for their name, image, and likeness. Then moving forward, it looks like around $20 million is going to be allowed starting in the fall of 2025. Around $20 million per school is going to be allowed to pay athletes, and so that's even outside of what we think of as NIL right now. This is going to come directly from the institutions themselves, and it looks like that number could even rise as we move along if the revenues continue to go as high as it looks like that they're going to be. So accepting this settlement with the former athletes essentially paves the way for schools to start paying players to the tune of about $20 million per school. And that way, everybody's in the same boat. That $20 million will be across the board.
Well, this is what the NCAA has opened this can of worms by doing the NIL deals and stuff, so they kind of get what they asked for, really, in my opinion. I don't think this is like going back to your former employer, whoever it is, and saying, well, you're paying these guys this much now, and I want my money from what I didn't earn when I was working for you before. Like, I don't agree with that at all, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think they're going to accept this because, at least right now, the one thing that's left out as far as the revenue sharing is TV money. Now, there are pending lawsuits by former athletes to try to get their hands in that pie, which if that happens, we all know that $20 million for school is going to skyrocket because of the amount of money that TV is generating for the conferences, which then, of course, goes to the schools.
Well, I probably have a lot different opinion on this than most people, but if you sign a contract or a letter of intent to go play at a school or something like that, then you're basically saying, hey, I'm agreeing to go do this for you if the school does this for me. And now all of a sudden it's everybody wants money, everybody wants more. Like, I mean, I can get into the whole NIL deal and so on and so forth, but this is a cultural and a society thing where it's people think that they want money that they feel like they deserve or whatever. It's like, no, you were totally happy with the contract that you agreed with beforehand until you found out that somebody else was making more money than you, and now all of a sudden you feel like you're owed something? No, get out of here with that.
I think what the schools need to be careful with now is, because my question is, they get $20 million per, how is that divvied out? Is it going to have to be evenly shared between your gymnastics players and your football players, or is it by, well, football generates more revenue for us, we need to give them a little more, and then that could open up another can of worms of equal share. So that's something that I think we're going to have to address in the future too.
Yeah, well, if college athletes are chasing money, then at what point, like at what amount of money is enough?
There isn't any. Yeah,
There's not.
There's not.
So, and that's just life. If all you're doing is chasing money, then at some point the money that you're currently making, it's just never enough. So this is, like I said, this is, my opinion, a can of worms that should have probably never been opened, but, cat's out of the bag now, and you ain't putting it back in, so.
Yeah, I think that's why the settlement is happening, because the cat is out of the bag. You can't put it back in, and at this point, the NCAA and the conferences themselves are trying to mitigate the disaster monetarily. And so $2.7 billion is a whole heck of a lot cheaper than it could be. If this thing plays out.
Yeah, they're trying to cut it off now and say, like, okay, fine, this is what you'll get. But it's just going to keep going up and up and up. I mean, because do you think the TV revenue is going to go down? No, it's not. And it all has to do with college football. It's not women's gymnastics. It's not tennis. I mean, that's just, I'm not being throwing shade at any other sport, but that's what we're talking about here is the football programs generate so much revenue. I mean, you hear Pat Jones talk about it all the time. You know, you take the University of Oklahoma, that football program funds almost everything athletically for the school. Yeah, their softball program's great. They've got decent years in other sports and everything, but that's what's bringing in all the money to the school as far as athletically is concerned, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's why you're going to see in the not so distant future where football becomes its own thing, aside from everything. I think you're going to see a certain number of schools. I'm not sure how many. Is it up to 50? Is it less than that? Kind of break away in some sort of Big Ten / SEC that looks a whole heck of a lot like the NFL, to where you're going to end up with a conference champion in some sort of playoff. And then you're going to have the Super Bowl. Whoever wins the Big Ten is going to play whoever wins the SEC for the national title, a la kind of what the Super Bowl is with the NFC and AFC.
Yeah, well, is it – they're moving to a 10-team format for the college football playoffs,
12.
Is that right?
12.
12-team, okay, perfect. Yep. Yeah, this has been my opinion about the whole thing. If the college football playoff committee has said from the beginning they put an emphasis on winning your conference, well, if that's true, then I think it needs to be we're going to basically have four major conferences now. I mean, is the Pac-12 really even going to?
No, they're done.
It's pretty much dissolved. So, you know, put your money where your mouth is and say, hey, if you win your conference, you get an automatic bid, and then two at-large bids, and, you know, put your money where your mouth is and say that winning your conference has importance. Well, then you can't, there's no argument there, right?
Yeah. And I think that's what's going to me, help out with the viewing all across the country, is that everybody, even into middle to late November, even if you've got three losses, you're still, one, have a chance at, depending on what conference you're in, and two, absolutely have that at large or that automatic spot ahead of you if you can get into a conference title game and then win that. I think it keeps the more of the country invested later in the season with those auto bids from conferences, instead of it just being the Southeast watching college football and nobody else really caring. Hey, we got people on the text line telling you to make your cows be quieter. out there?
My cows?
Yeah, we.
These aren't my cows. Out here where I'm at. Anyways, I got to get to work. Good to talk to you guys.
Absolutely, brother. Hey, everything okay up there? I saw some pictures of some pretty giant hail at your place the other night.
The hail didn't concern me near as much as the rattlesnake that I killed.
Oh no!
So, I'll send you a pic of that.
Okay. Hey, man, have a good day. Thanks for calling.
All right, appreciate you guys.
See you, Will. Will Bowie. Yeah, did you see that hail at his place?
No, I did not.
Holy cow. I mean, his hand is pretty...
Where's his place at?
Up toward Leedy.
Okay. Yeah.
He's got a pretty big mitt on him.
Yeah.
Piece of hail almost covered the entire palm of his hand. It had to have been almost a baseball.
That's easily a baseball size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was huge hail.
Wow. Yeah, that was a weird storm. You know, back to the thing, back to these kids and money. I want to make money. I'm a capitalist. I want to make as much money as I can. Is it hard? It's kind of hard to blame them if they see an opportunity to make bank.
Here's the truth. Capitalism works in everything except for sports. In sports, communism is the answer.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
The more even, look at the NFL. The NFL is a perfect example of this being correct. Everything is spread evenly across the entirety of the league, right? As far as the money that's shared and paid and all that. And guess what? It gives us the greatest product that there is.
Very true. Very true. That's why we have the CBAs and all that.
That's right. Yeah. And I wonder how much, you know, something else when you talk about, you know, is it an equal share of the of that $20 million, something else that's going to have to come up is Title IX.
Well, the kind of same thing, kind of hand in hand with this equal share and all that.
I think that basically forces the schools to have to make it equal.
Yeah.
And then then the cool thing about that is in the world we live today, some guy that can't get on the field for baseball can just switch to softball and maybe get, you know, two shares.
Okay, moving on.
Or maybe run for both track teams. So that'd be great. Won't it be?
Whatever.
You can't.
Whatever.
You're 80th.
I really don't want to go there.
You're 80. You're 80th in the men's mile, but you win the women's by 200 yards. Way to go, buddy. Does he get both shares of money?
Here's another question. Are there bonuses?
I wonder.
Hey, you ran for 2,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bonus.
Here's what I think part of that will be the current structure of the NIL will remain. And you know, instead of it just depends on how much is enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know this whole thing was designed to, all you heard was, oh, these guys, these athletes just don't have enough money to walk. They can't even take their girlfriend on a date. Okay, so if when in this $20 million piece of the pie is divvied out evenly, is that enough?
Yeah, $20 million sounds like a lot, but for a university like Oklahoma or Ohio State or those big, big universities that are practically cities, within communities, and there's a lot of athletes. You know, think about all the programs that those universities I mentioned have.
85 football players, 30 basketball players between men and women, 15 apiece. Well, that's 115. If it's just, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be scholarship athletes only. So, yeah, you're probably looking at upwards of 400 to 500 by the time it's all said and done. Is that too much? Is that too many? With all the different sports? Let's say it's 200. Well, what's 20 million divided by 200? It's 200K. Or 100K, I'm sorry. Right? 100,000 times 200, yeah. So are they each going to get $100,000? Is that not enough?
I'm looking at, I'm trying to find. Not exact numbers, but a rough number of how many scholarship athletes across the board.
Yeah, and the question on the text line, what about scholarships? If we're paying you,
Yeah.
If we're paying you $100,000 a year, why do you need a scholarship?
Yeah, it looks like you can afford that tuition now.
That's exactly right.
A lot of questions here.
But I think the point of the settlement right now is to cut it off at the pass.
Yeah, getting ahead of it.
You know, all you athletes that have been involved in this for so many years, divvy out $2.7 billion, and you know that stops the bleeding for the past. Now everything's focused on the present and the future as far as how this is going to work, who's getting paid, how much are they getting paid, and all that. You know, and so if you're the schools, you know, what changes from a – you obviously want the players and your athletes to still get the best, you know, nutrition or training staff and all that, but at one point – does that start to wane a little bit because of the cost? There's a whole nother $20 million that you're not necessarily have been budgeting for.
Do you think it'll make it harder to go to boosters and go, hey, we need this much? Like, well, actually, you're getting $20 million. You can't afford that? You can't afford a little bit of that?
I think that's...
But it is obligated to go to the student athlete, that $20 million we just spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it could, you know... give pause to donors who think you are getting this much money to go towards athletes individually, and now you want more money?
Well, or maybe it makes it cuts their expense down because they're not having to make up that extra $20 million. You know what I mean?
And NIL possibilities, too, could go away.
Like, well,
you don't need an NIL deal. You got your 20. You got your piece of the pie. Now you're asking for some of my money for my car dealership?
I think that's all possible because, you know, like I said, 200 athletes, it's probably not enough. It's probably more than that on campuses. But, I mean, even at 400, that's still $50,000 a year. And when this all started, if you'd have told any of those athletes we'll give you $50,000 a year, they'd have taken it in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
They would have absolutely taken it in a heartbeat.
Very much so.
Yeah, here's seeing for Sooner Athletics, $33,000 per athlete. Still, once again, I mean, they would have taken that and ran. And the NCAA fought it, and now it's going to turn into a lot more. It's already been a giant headache. I can't wait. I didn't dive into the Jaden Rashada lawsuit. If you don't remember him, he committed to Florida. Apparently a $13.8 million NIL deal was promised in some way, shape, or form. Didn't get it. Ended up at Arizona State last year. Now he's at Georgia. One of the snippets of an article I did see was that Kirby Smart gave his blessing for him to file the lawsuit against Florida, which is just hilarious to me. Like he wouldn't. But, I mean, is there a contract? You know, we've wondered that throughout this entirety of the NIL. How is this working? Well, we're about to find out on that one at least. I think that's pretty cut and dried. If there's a contract signed by both parties, then that money is clearly owed to him, or some of it.
Yeah, I don't think a lawyer would allow it to go this far if there wasn't a contract, if there wasn't something in writing. You have to have proof. You can't just go by hearsay,
mm-hmm.
and the donor or the NIL provider says, prove it. I just told you. I shook your hand behind the stage, allegedly. But prove it.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be something there, so this will set a precedent, too.
Oh, I think so. This is a monumental time as far as the NIL goes. So where does this ultimately end up? If the conferences settle this thing and this lawsuit kind of goes away, I mean, it definitely goes away, where are we headed in college athletics?
Well, ultimately, universities paying these athletes. To what sum, we don't know. How is it divvied out? We don't know. But it's just going to be a mini form of pro athletics. They will be employees of the university.
Do they have to then unionize? Are we going to start seeing collectively bargained agreements in different sports?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everything that comes with pro athletes and pro organizations, it you're going to see, I think, little versions of that too.
How long until college football breaks away from the NCAA? And it's like its separate own entity within college athletics, when with everything else kind of being governed the same way it always has.
In less than 10 years, maybe even quicker.
I think that's true.
Because it feels like it is fastly rolling down the hill like an avalanche towards that model.
How many end up? Because Will was asking about the 4-team conference. I don't think there's going to be 4 conferences. I think there's going to be 2 within college football.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, I don't know how much anything else is going to change as far as the structure of it and the way it's administered and all that. I think we're talking about 2 totally separate topics, right? Everything else and football. So does it turn? Do you see it turning into the NFL? Where the Big Ten is the AFC and the SEC is the NFC, right? You see that coming? And then if that is, how many teams ultimately end up in each of those conferences?
Well, we have how many Power 5 teams right now?
What is there? 69?
Is that it?
Is that the number? Maybe more now.
I think the answer is just as simple as splitting it down the middle there.
So if there's, let's say there's 70. So 35 each?
Yeah, more or less. And then I could even see it going as far, and I've seen this model out there. I loved it. Where it, you know, we're doing the SEC, maybe they'll call it the SEC division and the Big Ten division and the Big 12 division. But you have those 70 and they just split them up geographically, kind of like divisions in NFL. Where, I mean, geographics aren't really a factor in the NFL, but you know what I mean. You could see your Pacific division,
mm-hmm.
that features USC, UCLA, Arizona, Arizona State, Washington, you know, and so forth. And then you got your Southwest division or your mid division or something with OU, OSU, Texas, you know, something right in there, like Iowa State, Kansas schools.
What's crazy is after all this realignment and the craziness that it is, it's all going to go back.
It could all come full circle and kind of self, like, what's the word?
Self-correct.
Self-correct. And we're back to that. But with, I mean, that. So I'm kind of saying this all on the fact that I said that we're going to see like a mini version of pro sports. And what we see in all major pro sports are these divisions. And then, mm-hmm. you know, then the playoff format and your Super Bowl or your finals or whatever. That's where I think the college football landscape is going towards.
I do too. Let's keep
rolling. I love the regulation talk too that I saw. That was fun. That
I missed Bob this morning. I guess Bob Stoops was talking about this on the Morning Animals.
Oh, he was.
And how getting the conferences aligned is going to help push this. And also another interesting text I just got with athletes being employees. How does that change certain things? Hanging out here on a Wednesday talking future college athletics. Oh man, you looking at the text line? How cool is this? You got a picture?
I'm looking. You got the good computer. Keep in mind, I got the slow one.
Picture of a dude standing on the Swilken Bridge the old course. Now that is what I'm talking about. That's awesome.
That's a vacation right there. That's cool.
That is fantastic.
How old's that bridge?
Nearly 200 years old.
Could you imagine what you're thinking, what you're feeling?
Like, wait a minute. Like 18, way longer than that. Hang on. Almost 300. 250 years old, probably.
Wow.
Sometimes in the 1860s-ish.
That's very cool.
Yeah, appreciate that. That's fantastic. Okay. Here's a question posed to me on the text line about this paying of the players and the athletes and this kind of thing. So if the universities are paying athletes directly, essentially they're an employee, right?
Correct.
So does that allow then the colleges to enforce a stricter code of conduct to be able to play?
Oh, yeah, or you can get fired.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, you sort of see that right now with scholarships and cutting of scholarships and kind of banning if you do something bad enough.
Yeah, suspensions, whatever.
Yeah, or just kick you out of school, that kind of thing. But, you know, how much is that? Is there some kind of scale there that the universities can then employ to their employees in order for them to get paid? And does that kind of clean things up just a little bit?
Right.
I think that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
But once again,
go back to the pro model. You'll see some commissioners, I guess. There's another question. We're going to have a commissioner for football.
Absolutely.
But some are scared to punish their star athletes, and some will throw the book at the other ones.
And is there just like a working template of a contract for everybody, or can certain schools maybe have stricter guidelines than others? Thinking about the pro model, okay, you know, there's different things. You're always hearing about different addendums and contracts for certain players, like you cannot ride a motorcycle, whoever.
Right.
And if you get hurt doing it, that voids everything. You know, is there something there where it could be changed from a, you know, not necessarily the macro level, but is it all, you know, is it all cookie cutter, or can certain schools, and it, does this all have to be bargained collectively? As you know, does football have a different CBA than basketball and softball? You know what I mean? There's a lot here that's going to have to be figured out.
Yeah. And Justin on the text line, he brought, I was just thinking this, how long before this kind of trickles down to the high school level?
Oh, good Lord.
Because, I mean, we just talked about how big, say, a Broken Arrow is, right? Just
yesterday, over 6,000 students.
Yeah, big school. And, you know, and they've been pretty decent in athletics and football especially, and bringing in a bunch of ticket sales. At what point does somebody go, hey, wait a minute, I'm the reason you're getting those tickets sold and selling those t-shirts and hot dogs? So
unfortunately, you feel like it's coming, right? And it just speaks to what Will was talking about earlier with us, just the difference. You know, it used to be good enough that, hey, thank you, school, for providing me the pads and the jersey and meals on the road. You know what I mean? And now you can kind of see it coming. Hopefully it never reaches down that low to that level. But
we shall never speak of it again.
Yeah.
At least on the high school thing.
All right. Have you looked at Mark Schlabaugh's top 25?
I think I did a couple days ago.
So he's got the post-spring top 25. Georgia number one, Ohio State number two.
The Ohio State?
The Ohio State.
The Ohio State that can't beat Michigan?
All of a sudden, isn't it funny how that's flipped? For two decades, it was, boy, Michigan's pretty good, except for they can't beat Ohio State. And now all of a sudden, the last 3 years, it's been, boy, Ohio State's pretty good, except for they can't beat Michigan.
I'll go as bold to say that if it continues, because Michigan with the massive turnover and new coach, and what if they go and lose to Michigan again, Ohio State loses to Michigan, well, is Ryan Day's seat getting warmer?
Eventually it will, and I imagine eventually is about now.
Like, hey, that's great, Ryan. You can beat all these other teams, but you can't beat our biggest rival. We've seen coaches get let go. I mean, and there's a history of that, not at Ohio State. Well, maybe there is, but throughout the country, like, oh, yeah, we're great, but he can never beat our rival.
So he's won 86.8% of his games since he took over at the start of the 2019 season.
Pretty impressive, yeah.
Here's another crazy thing. They've beaten everybody in the Big Ten over the last 3 years,
except the Wolverines.
Now, here's the thing that helps him is if that continues, yes, people are going to be upset that you can't beat Michigan, but what does it allow you to do? You're in the playoff every single year. And then, you know, you didn't beat Michigan, but you won the title. There's a trade-off there. Right now, or in the past couple of years, there wasn't a trade-off. The trade-off was you can't beat Michigan and you're not making the playoff. You sorry sucker.
You know the common thing I've seen about Michigan and Ohio State when they played? It wasn't that Ohio State wasn't good enough. It looked like Michigan would always take the fight to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. And is that gone?
Right, because that came from the very top.
Absolutely. I mean, think back to when he was at Stanford. Mm-hmm. You know, that one massive upset of SC as almost a 30-point underdog. And what was the common denominator about him and his teams, Harbaugh that is, they always seem to, even though they're at Michigan, and let's not pretend like this is some underdog story, right. It's Michigan, but he always seemed to find that chip. Somehow, some way, had that chip on there. You know, at the San Francisco 49ers, it felt like he had that disrespect card somehow. He created it for those players. And you're talking about one of the most storied franchises in NFL history. Does that go away now? Does Michigan return to, you know, Michigan? And Ohio State kind of leapfrogs back above them? I could easily see it happening.
Yeah, speaking of Chip, Ohio State got Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator. Not sure Will Howard's the answer at quarterback, though.
Yeah, they, as much as anybody, got the big, big names out of the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Downs, after having a heck of a true freshman season at safety at Alabama, ends up at Ohio State. Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ole Miss, is there. You mentioned Will Howard. You know, that's the one watching him play Missouri in that bowl game last year. The one thing that was readily apparent was quarterback play was pretty rough. We'll see if they got that fixed. Is there somebody who do you like? If you can't have Georgia or Ohio State, let's say, who do you like going into the season next year?
As say a national title.
National
contender.
Title, absolutely.
This is gonna sound silly because of who they are, but because of their circumstance, a lot of people have kind of brushed them off. But I wouldn't count out Alabama. I think they'll get in the playoff. It's expanded. Why not? And everyone's thinking, oh, this is time to get them. You talk about that chip on the shoulder. I could see them going, nah, we're still Alabama.
They lost a lot in the portal, but they do retain a quarterback. And they picked up guys that certainly seem to fit right back in. You know, plugging holes, at least for now. You know, man, Ole Miss looks the part to me. With the guys that they were able to add in the portal. Now, they lost the running back.
Yeah, I brought them up. And my question was going to be, because right here in this post-spring top 25, Ole Miss 6, Alabama 7. But, I mean, be truthful. If you put them on a field right now to play, who would you pick?
Alabama.
Yeah. In Alabama's schedule, Western Kentucky, South Florida. They got a tough one at Wisconsin. Georgia. Those are back-to-back. And then you got Vanderbilt, South Carolina, at Tennessee, Mizzou, LSU, Mercer, OU, and Auburn.
That's probably harder than – oh, I'm looking at Ole Miss. Ole Miss's hardest non-conference game is at Wake. Road games in the SEC at South Carolina, very manageable. At Arkansas, very manageable. At Florida, sure seems manageable right now. And then at LSU, home games against Kentucky, OU, Georgia, and Mississippi State. That feels like 10-2 minimum.
Like, it better be, right?
Which gets you in the playoff. Yeah, you'd think 10-2 would be a must with the hype that that Ole Miss is getting. I wonder how much, you know, Notre Dame looks like a good choice. Riley Leonard, quarterback.
Yeah, he's good.
From Duke. Yeah, okay, but how much? I said the same thing. I personally said the same thing last year with Sam Hartman joining Notre Dame from Wake, and that didn't really work out.
Didn't really pan out.
Is this just a repeat of that, or do we actually see, you know, that they lost both offensive tackles? Is Notre Dame one of those teams that you like, or just kind of wait and see?
Well, we just talked about Michigan. Notre Dame's kind of turned into that Michigan team. Top 10, top 5 sometimes, but can never get over the hump.
I think it's going to be hard to keep them out of the playoff with what they've got. And then, you know, a team that...
real quick, Duke, who left first, Elko or the quarterback?
Probably Elko.
That's usually how it works. I feel like Leonard left.
Well, you know, he got hurt in the middle of the season, so maybe he did, you know, and just kind of shut her down and got out of there. I'll tell you one team that's very, very intriguing to me is Oregon. They're number 4 on this list with Dan Lanning going into his third year. Is it possible that Dylan Gabriel is an upgrade over Bo Nix? At least collegiately.
Yeah, I could see that. I really like Bo Nix his freshman year. Early in his freshman year, he kind of came on the stage. We all remember that game. Who'd they play?
Oregon.
It was Oregon, that's right.
Auburn and Oregon.
And they beat him, and I thought, this kid's a star. Kind of fell off, transferred to Oregon, kind of revitalized his career. But was that because Oregon's just a better fit because of Lanning? And well, who's the offensive coordinator there? I don't know.
Or was it he got away from SEC defenses and started playing Pac-12 ones?
Yeah, and Gabriel could have a heyday with that. But this is now Big Ten schedule. I'm a believer of, does it fit, like, with the offensive coordinator?
Sure feels like it.
You know? And even though Oregon hired a defensive guy, they're still very high-octane offense still. That's been their mantra forever.
Yeah, no, it seems.
So, yeah, I could see that.
Seems like it's a perfect marriage to me. I mean, Gabriel kind of played point guard at OU as far as the offense, and that's exactly what they're doing up there. Except for maybe instead of so much dink and dunk, and people here didn't appreciate the arm strength or downgraded it, but is that an upgrade over Bo Nix? Who, if I ask you right now, who's winning the Big 12?
Well, the contenders would be OSU. I would put Utah in that discussion, maybe Arizona, and maybe Kansas State. I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think for Utah to move over into the new conference. The quarterback's been off for a full year. That's a lot of question marks there. I know, and a lot of people around here might get mad. I will kind of lean towards Chris Klieman and Kansas State. How about you?
Those are the contenders. Add Kansas to the contenders with Jalen Daniels.
Yeah. Doors wide open for a lot of these teams, aren't there?
I mean, Oklahoma State brings back 20 starters.
But, how many times have we done this?
I know.
Right? Oh, they bring back so much, and then they lose 4 games.
May have Utah at home at Kansas State, I believe. As far as the schedule goes, Got it right here. Yeah, Utah and Kansas back-to-back. Host Utah in late September, the last weekend of September, go to Kansas State. Go to BYU, go to Baylor, host West Virginia. I mean, the schedule is really manageable. And you figure with the parity in the Big 12, one loss, maybe two, gets you in the title game. I think it's going to be hard to keep Oklahoma State out of there with what they return. But you're right. Over the course of the last decade or so, when Gundy's teams are supposed to be good, they haven't met expectations. When they're not, they always meet them or even surpass those expectations.
Yeah, they're the pretty prom date that stands you up when after they say yes to you.
Feels like it. And then next thing you know, they're Rachel Lee Cook in that one movie coming down the stairs. Finally took her glasses off. Whoa, look at her. She looked pretty good. Wrapping up a Wednesday. Boomtown, you just heard it. Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main right here in Elk City. They literally have everything you can possibly imagine. Steak, grilled chicken, seafood with salmon and that kind of thing. Salads, burgers, sandwiches. Oh, Italian? Yeah, pizza, pasta. The blowout pizza. It's kind of a meat lover's. So that's a staple around our house. We go to the Boomtown Grill. Of course, Tuesday, yesterday was the $5 chicken fry special. Tomorrow, 50-cent boneless wings. Happy hour 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. 12 big screen TVs, appetizer plates, and drink specials. It's the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main in Elk City. Open 7 days a week, 11 to 10, Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. Also, big thank you to our friends at Rother Brothers in Clinton, north on Highway 183 there. Rother Brothers family-owned dealership started with three owners in Kingfisher in 1976. It's now three different locations covering all of western Oklahoma, Clinton, Fairview, and Kingfisher. Rother Brothers prides themselves in creating a one-stop shop, providing all sorts of equipment, parts, repair services for many makes and models. Of course, excellent service, a huge selection of parts, and exceptional support for their customers are the cornerstones of Rother Brothers. There on Highway 183 north of Clinton. All right, so we talked in the very beginning of the show, the sad news that looks like it's kind of getting out there, breaking news, that next season will be the final season of TNT being involved in the NBA, which means inside the NBA, pre- and post-game shows will be no longer. Not only is that show one of, well, in my opinion, the best sports analysis show that's on TV right now. That show might be one of the best TV shows, period, that's on the airwaves right now. The chemistry of those four guys and Ernie being able to kind of be the conductor of the show, yet you don't really even notice him. Yeah. It's an incredible ability that he has, and he's
Still steers the show.
He steers it without steering it, and the lack of ego for him to do what he does is a big part, I think, of why the show is as successful as it is. You know, those other three, you know, Kenny, he almost seems like the big brother that just instigates the two little brothers to start fighting. In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But it's kind of sad to see that show going to go by the wayside.
Potentially. Hopefully they figure this out. But, yeah, it does. It's a show. You know you got a good show when you know what time your game's going to start. Say it's on a Thursday night game in regular season or these playoffs, and you want to watch, especially your team, but any team, really. And you know your game starts at, say, 7 o'clock. And you look down at your watch, and it's, say, 6:30. Oh, turn the boys on. Turn them on. And they're also so good where when it's halftime, okay, what do they have to say about that first half? You don't go up, get, you know, pop some more popcorn or freshen up your beer or whatever. You do that beforehand, and then you sit down, okay, what do they have to say about that first half? And then the post game. They're that good. And it would be quite a shame if they can't find a way to stay together, whether it be on another network or if TNT can find a way to keep them together. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, TNT being out of the – it seems so weird to even think about TNT not being in the business of the NBA, but it appears that that's what's going to happen.
I mean, that's the fluidity of all this. It happens. And I quite honestly wouldn't mind seeing NBC getting the NBA back. I remember back growing up, that was the game. That was where you go to watch NBA. You know, I remember I was hearing on the Animal Sports, the Morning Animals, weeks ago, and this was kind of coming to light. They're like, oh, they got to bring back the old graphics package and all that stuff. All of that.
Yeah.
But again, hoping that they can find a way to keep this group, these guys together. Because it worked.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those shows. Like, you can't, if Ernie can't, Ernie's a Turner guy.
Yeah.
And so that appears to be the sticking point of just moving the show to a different network is his contract more than the rest of them. But it's one of those things that is so special. I don't think it works without those guys. I mean, sure, you can have, you know, a Draymond come in every now and then or whatever. You know, there's been different guys throughout the years that have maybe been there for a night or two. But at the end of the day, it always has to return back to those four with Shaq, Kenny, Chuck, and obviously Ernie Johnson. Even if Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck go somewhere else to try to recreate it, I don't think it's recreatable without Ernie being the point man. You know, their chemistry is just so good. It just works. It's like, you know, some other shows, you know, golly, Will Bond and Kornheiser. What's that called? It just flew out of my mind.
Pardon the interruption. Yeah.
You know, that show works with those two. Mm-hmm. And every now and then you got a fill-in host, and it's kind of like, it's not the same as those two guys. You know, as much as he's completely almost done, but game day won't be the same when Corso isn't there. And quite frankly, he's about not there, you know, right now. But that's the creation of that was kind of around him, and it's kind of lost its fire for me over the years because Corso has diminished, and it really isn't anything to do with his crack analysis about anything.
But I mean, even
back in the day when he wasn't older. Yeah, I wasn't. It doesn't necessarily tune in to hear what Lee Corso had to say about a certain game.
No,
just to see him, and of course, you know, putting on the headgear and all that, and moving that show around was such a brilliant move back in the mid '90s to leave a studio and be on camp. I mean, that is so wise. Whoever decided to do that, it made that show.
And yeah,
it works with the pageantry of college football. To be on those campuses, and things change obviously, and they always have to. But gosh, it's sure going to be different NBA wise if you're not being able to tune into those guys.
Yeah.
Before or like I said, after even at halftime, to not be able to have that, just the chemistry of that show is going to really stink. No doubt.
Yes, it is.
All right, for tomorrow, a little homework assignment. Come up with – everybody wants to know what you're going to be cooking over the Memorial Day.
I already know, yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I've already got Sunday's menu ready to roll. I've got meat thawing in the fridge to go on the grill. What's everybody else got coming up for the unofficial, official start of summertime? Memorial Day weekend. All right, everybody, have a great Wednesday. Appreciate Will calling in. Others can too.
Yes, they can.
It's that easy.
Please do.
Call us on. Everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!